Technorama episode 610, No Static at All. Hey, hi, how are you? And welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. It's episode 610. Where have you been, my friend? Thank you for joining us. We forgot to share on Facebook. I just realized.
I did not.
All right, I'll take care of that while you're doing your introduction. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. Joining me right across the table and giving me 30 seconds to connect up on Facebook is the one and only man who puts all the content together for the show. It's Craig Stepp.
Yes, I'm the one to blame. Actually, we're doing pretty good tonight. This last weekend I went out of town and spent a little time in the mountains. So it was a lot of fun and nice to get away for a bit and, really do nothing. I had no signal up there, which is also nice.
Is that a bad thing?
No, I just I got no signal. Just put it in airplane mode so I don't kill the battery and call it a day.
Apologies to those who are trying to watch on YouTube. I did have a stream set up scheduled for whatever reason. It did not connect when Donna hit broadcast. So that's probably my fault. One minor detail. I will double check the checklist and make sure we get that right next week. The good point is we still have a local MP4 that we can upload to that. So we do record locally. Everything I broadcast, I record anyway. It's belt and suspenders around here.
Yeah. And then it goes into the Technorama vault and it stays there until.
Oh, boy.
The museum and the archive, the National Archives wants it.
Until Indiana Jones comes along.
Yeah. What is this? Technorama podcast.
If you hold the staff of Ra at the right angle and the light goes through, it'll show you where the studio was.
Yeah, that's right.
This is where the ancient Egyptians buried the microphone.
That's right.
Okay. We have some feedback. Let me get to the right thing here. I don't know what I'm doing. I do too many productions around here. I can't even remember which one goes where. Yes, we asked you a question last week. Let's get on with it.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going to lip sync this whole thing.
Yeah.
Our question last week, we asked you, what should humanity's goal be? Very short and succinct, but thought-provoking.
Yeah.
Dan DeManquire says, to correct wrongs we have done where we can and to forgive the wrongs of others. I love it. Great message.
That's a good one.
Christina Norris says, I think that most everyone would do well with my three house rules. My kids, other kids, and adults that frequent my house are held to this standard every day. 1, do your work. We don't earn participation trophies in real life. Put in the work. Put the work in before you expect recognition. Applicable to life, school, and work. Good answer. 2, clean up after yourself. Life is better when you have control over it, and it starts with making your bed. I've heard that before. Somebody else said, if you want to feel organized for the rest of the day, start by making your bed.
That was the gentleman, it was a Navy SEAL, and it's that video that was floating around on YouTube, and he was talking about the first thing you do is make your bed.
I thought I heard it on Manager Tools, but I could be wrong. It's probably
that's where they got it from, probably.
Probably. Let's see. Others shouldn't have to suffer because you're lazy. So don't expect anyone to clean up after you. General rule, yes, your mother doesn't work here. And 3, don't be an a-hole. Which is closely related to Tiffany Mangan's answer right after that. Don't be a dick.
That's right. I like how she put the asterisk in there, but still spelled it out.
It's like Walmart. There's an asterisk in there, too. What's that mean?
Yeah.
I'm looking for the footnote for what the D stands for on the, when you see the footnotes at the bottom. Anyway, yeah. John Miller Jr. says, wear the freaking mask and social distance so we can get this virus under control. Alexis Duran says, having a fairly good standard of life for everyone and you know actually living up to that standard.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Wills, work together. We are all on the same rock. Craig Glasner just has a gif of John Travolta dancing. No, that's not even John Travolta dancing. That's from Airplane.
Yeah, but is staying alive, question mark?
Staying alive, question mark. Jack Mangan says, repel Diana and the lizard aliens.
Oh, yeah. He gets it.
What kind of answers did you come up with from your question to the internet?
Oh, for mine? I got a few. I got Bill and Ted be excellent to each other.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. Multiplanetary species from Dave Kubach. Alex Surrett says, make this world better for the next generation. Yep, I agree. And Stephen Jensen, which we met him at Dragon Con.
Yes.
It says, being humane, which is, yeah, makes sense too. I think I'm sensing a common theme through a lot of these.
This is a good time to ask this question too. Paul Parkinson says, right now, survival.
Survival.
Brad Miller says, to conquer the known universe. That should be humanity's goal, to conquer the known universe before the Klingons and Romulans do, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we got to have priorities. Let's get through the pandemic first, then conquer the known universe.
If there's anybody left to conquer the universe. Sean, hey,
if we go, the next one kind of goes hand in hand with that. Once we conquer the known universe, we can leave this planet better than the current state it's in.
I would just stop at leave the planet.
Right.
Steve from Sweden says, the short answer is easy. Live long and prosper. Smart man. The long answer would take more than a full Technorama episode.
Yeah, right.
Nice shot, Steve. I love it. Michael says, to prove black equals white without getting trampled at the next zebra crossing.
Hmm.
Okay. Visual there.
Yeah.
Eric says, as long as money is king and everything it is practically impossible to even take a step towards starting this. Still, love the first Star Trek series and how they had no currency. We're getting there. It's almost the 24th century. And my sister says, compassion and understanding. What would your answer be, Craig?
I like the don't be a dick part. That's kind of a good mantra to live by.
I would say our goal would be equality without even recognizing it. You know, just getting to that state where you don't even see, someone has to prove they're different before you assume they're different, right? There's, right now, you see visual differences, and I would love it if everybody assumed good intentions and then let the actions determine that afterwards.
Right.
So innocent till proven guilty. What,
and to be honest with you, well, you know, I've always told people that I treat everybody as a friend until they prove otherwise. So
yes, you know, that should be humanity's goal. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be doing that. All right, let's finish out the song. We got everything we came here for.
All right,
show's over. Nothing to see here.
Yep, we solved all the world's problems with that one question. Wait, no, we're out.
I did spend some time.
Mic drop.
I did spend some time on Saturday putting a little history lesson together, so we may as well do the history.
All right.
Oh my goodness, it's August 12th already, and this is the way the history goes. It's the 225th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 141 days remaining in 2020. It was on this date in 1492 that Christopher Columbus arrives in the Canary Islands on his first voyage to the New World. Well, we're partway there.
Yeah. Also, today in 1851, Isaac Singer is granted a patent for a sewing machine. Can you guess the name?
Viking.
That's it.
The mechanical sewing device.
Yeah.
155 years ago today, Joseph Lister, the British surgeon and scientist, performed the first antiseptic surgery. Did you also know his name was contributed to the mouthwash Listerine?
No, I did not.
That's where it came from.
Yeah, Listerine, okay.
And Listeria is the disease you get if you aren't, you know, if you get infected by...
Oh, yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of funny how his name is all in there. Was his name first and then the disease?
Yeah, no,
the,
yeah, sure. Anyway. His mother named him after a disease. That's a good boy, tuberculosis.
All right. Also, on August 12th, 1953, the Soviet atomic bomb project continued with a detonation of RDS-6S. I loved him in Star Wars. Joe 4.
That was the nickname, Joe 4.
Joe 4.
Nobody liked RDS-6S.
Yeah, RDS-6S was a great robot in Star Wars. The first Soviet thermonuclear bomb. The first testing of a real thermonuclear bomb weapon, not test devices.
It means they detonated a real bomb. It wasn't one of their test ones. Uncle Owen, this RDS unit has a bad thermonuclear detonator.
That's what happened to Owen and Baruch. They're all
hey, too soon.
Too soon.
60 years ago today, Echo 1A, 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 1A. Yeah. I should use the reverb for that one. NASA's first, now that I know how to use reverb on this mixer.
No.
NASA's first successful communication satellite was launched.
And August 12th, 1977, the first free flight of the Space Shuttle Enterprise.
I remember that. I did a report on it. I did a speech on it. In public address class. Also, on this date in 1981, the IBM personal computer was released. Happy PC Day, everybody. And we're not talking about political correctness, but although you can do that too. August 12th, 1981.
It was also on this date in 1990 that Sue, the largest and most complete Tyrannosaurus Rex. I don't know why I'm having trouble with that. Tyrannosaurus Rex.
T-Rex.
T-Rex skeleton was found to date. It was discovered by Sue Hendrickson of South Dakota.
Do you remember the model number of the first IBM PC?
PC?
It was a four-digit number.
Oh, yeah, it was...
same as a Van Halen album number. And don't say
OICU812. OU812?
No, that's not what they called the IBM PC. It was a 5150.
5150, yes.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Jewish astronomer, astrologer, mathematician, rabbi, and historian, Abraham Sakudo. He's not the one who took the picture of Kennedy being shot, okay? That was Zapruder, not Sakudo.
That's right.
He was born on this date in 1452. Yeah, definitely not the JFK filmer.
Born August 12th, 1856, American businessman and philanthropist. I need to drink some water here. Diamond Jim Brady.
That just sounds like a pimp name, doesn't it? Cecil B. DeMille. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. That one, yeah. American director and producer was born on that same date in 1881.
And I wasn't paying attention, so I'm going to have to go
You're
find
You're on Jean
that.
Cabon.
Uh-huh. Oh, Jean Cabon, the French physicist and academic, was born 135 years ago today.
It's El Cabon. No, Jean Cabon. Yeah. Austrian Cabon. Physicist and academic, Nobel Prize laureate, Erwin Schrödinger, was born on this date in 1887. I think his parents gave him a cat for his birthday.
That's right. Joe Besser, American actor, was born on the same date in 1907.
He was one of the seven Three Stooges. Do you remember there was like...
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Besser was one of the Stooges at one point.
Yeah.
American...
Actually was, yes. Yeah,
English-American astrophysicist and academic Margaret Burbage was born in the state in 1919.
And Scottish publisher and activist was co-founded the Guinness Book of World Records, Norris McWhittier. Weirder?
Close
McWhirter.
Enough.
All right. Was born 95 years ago today.
American computer scientist and academic Dorothy E. Denning was born today in 1945.
And also born on the same date in 1949, Scottish-English singer-songwriter, guitarist, and producer Mark Knopfler.
Money for nothing, man. No money for nothing. Right. American actor, director, and screenwriter Jim Beaver. Yes, Bobby from Supernatural is now 70 years old.
Jeez.
Listener birthdays. We're going to do this real quick for August 12th through 18th. We just have two. Christine Megapodtastic Fiore is on the 13th, and on the 17th is Clyde Jevons. Happy birthday to both of you. This dedicated ending of the song is for you.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to give a shout out to Elton Chapman. His birthday was just the other day.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
So in the chat room, and I remember that from yesterday.
If it's your birthday this week and we didn't get it on the calendar, well, maybe next year. We wish you all the best this week. Happy birthday, like Elton. And go over, Elton can go, I'm going to call him up by name now. Elton can go over to chuckchat.com/birthday or /wiki, like it says there on the bottom of the screen, and put your name on there. We will get a shout out to you. Put in your friend's name if they listen to Technorama, and they will be more surprised than you are. What? They said my name on that podcast.
Which one? I don't know. I'm just kidding.
The one that does the birthday history thing.
That's right.
Oh, yes. That one. That would be us. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That means it's time for news, and we need something spectacular for this. Where's the stupendous news? Oh, we'll just go with this one.
Oh, great news, everyone.
This is great news. Would you like to start the story?
Sure. Let me open it up. So, this is like ripped right out of the headlines from Gilligan's Island. Well, they didn't get rescued.
No, he spelled S-O-L because he tripped over the log. Come on. You got to get your Gilligan's Island.
They were there for so long, S-O-L is
because
as appropriate.
They wanted the spaceship overhead to see S-O-S, so they laid out some logs, they lit them on fire, and the guys, one of the astronauts' name was Saul, and they go, hey, look, they're saluting you down on that tiny little island. And you can see it lit up really well, like it was twice the size of the island.
Yeah, well, like I said, they were there for so long, S-O-L kind of encapsulated that story. proving once and for all things that you learned in cartoons are actually useful in real life, three men were rescued from a tiny Pacific island after riding a giant SOS sign in the sand that was spotted from above. So the men had been missing from Micronesia
archipelago,
for nearly 3 days when their distress signal was spotted Sunday on an uninhabited Pinklet Island by searchers on Australian and U.S. aircraft. The Australian Defense Department said Monday. The men apparently set out for Pulawate Atoll in a 7-meter, 23-foot boat on July 30th and had intended to travel about 43 kilometers, which is 27 miles for all you Americans, to Pulap Atoll when they sailed off course and ran out of fuel, the department said. So I wonder if they debated on building a coconut radio before settling on writing the SOS in the sand. There's a picture of the Far Side cartoon with health with instead of a PS. Yeah.
Says, wait, cancel that. I guess it says health, so they won't rescue.
That's pretty cool. It actually worked.
Well, and the island they were on wasn't much bigger than what's in the Far Side cartoon. It was sand and palm trees. It's not like there was fresh water. I mean, they're lucky to be alive.
Well, there had to be some fresh water there because the trees are there.
The
dig for it.
Trees, the trees can do what the trees do through the sand.
Yes, true.
But yep. So good news, everyone. They got rescued.
Yeah. And you can see the three guys on that one picture. They're sitting over near the.
Yep.
It's like they built a little hut. they're on their way to the coconut radio.
And
it's only a matter. It's like how man evolves. First they make shelter, then there's the coconut radio, and then next thing you know, we're writing on stone tablets.
And the bamboo, you can make anything out of bamboos and coconuts.
Right.
All right, except a spaceship. So tying in the last story's space story with this one, we just want to direct you to the show notes over at chuckchat.com/technorama. Look for episode 610 because there is a link to a gallery, a plethora, a cornucopia of SpaceX splashdown pictures from the first American splashdown in 45 years. I can't believe I'm that old that I remember the last one that well.
Yeah.
So lots of pictures of the rescue boat getting prepared, going out, picking them up. You see the parachutes are open, picking them up, hoisting it onto the boat. I thought they just like tow them behind to make them swim.
Then of course, you see all the Publix boats around it, like it's no big deal.
Yeah, and the I think it was the SpaceX people were saying, next time, I don't think we're going to publicize where we intend to splash down, because there were a lot of public boats. And I'm concerned that that may have been a safety issue at some point.
Well, I think that was a safety issue because there could be some gases were expelling. So that's what they were worried about.
They've been in there for how many? A couple of weeks? I'm sure there were some gases expelled.
They weren't in there that long.
We had to have our 8-year-old humor.
Yeah. But I watched it. It was kind of exciting to watch. Come down and hit the water.
The capsule was so heated up. I mean, you can see the char marks on it, but it also burned off the American flag sticker. But there's an image of the sticker still on it, which I think is kind of
cool. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed that picture. Oh, I see it. Oh, yeah, right there.
Kind of bizarre.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It looks like when you paint over something and then everything fades out except the painted part, and then the paint fades,
right,
and you still see this discoloration. Anyway, that was
But you gotta admit, I mean, obviously not making fun of this at all, but you gotta admit the whole mission was pretty much flawless. It went exactly the plan as far as I understand it.
Thanks, Bob and Doug.
So yeah, I think that was fantastic. It was actually a nice bright spot in the news.
Yes.
Compared to everything else. So yeah, this is great.
What? You mean the story about the lost kitten didn't hit you right here? That was a bright spot in the news.
I got 4 cats in here. I wish one of them No, I won't say that. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Easy, buddy. At least one of the stray kittens that your stray cat dropped on your doorstep?
Actually, all of them are. Well, 3 of them are. One of them was also Harrison and Kim found by itself one day. And then the other 3 are cats that were dropped off by a less pregnant or pregnant. It was a pregnant cat came to our house and gave birth right there. So thanks.
So she was stray, not feral.
Right. No,
I don't think you can re-domesticate a feral.
No, you'd be like a really awesome cat whisperer to do that.
I'm guessing the one that comes around our patio is a stray.
We've been feeding these 2 outside cats, and one of them, they got pregnant, and we're like, oh, great, here it comes. And then it, of course, gave birth and then brought the kittens over to our house.
Because you're the nicest house.
Yeah.
That was your old house, wasn't it?
Yes, it was my old house.
Well, she's probably still dropping them off. They're expecting someone to pick them up.
No, they actually, they hang out at my mother-in-law's house. She lived across the street. Now they live there.
The postal service forwards your cats.
Yeah, the cats must have saw the change of address card and decided to go over there.
All right, quick shout out to the chat room. We do this show normally on Sunday nights at 9:30, but we had some personal reasons to defer to Monday night at 9:30 Eastern time. Who do you see? I got Ralph Wengler. I've got Elton Chapman and my wife. That's all I see at the moment. But there are some other
technically
people
out both there too. So okay.
And we'll see if there's some others that show up. Again, apologies. We're trying to do this on YouTube at the same time, but it didn't want to cooperate this week. Sure makes my post production a lot shorter when it's already there. But
that's true.
We'll get it uploaded. All right. We have a Remember When segment, Back into Space. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, you're going to play the music? All right.
Oh, fine. Did we? Oh, okay. Because Remember When I was off segment. Go ahead.
Although that music does flag us for copyright for some reason.
No, only if you don't talk over it enough. Keep talking.
Yeah. So we got to keep talking. So the Apollo 11 brought a message of peace to the moon, but Neil and Buzz almost forgot to leave it behind.
Oops.
Yeah. So how about a package out of your sleeve? Or how about that package out of your sleeve? Get that? No, I don't get it. It is certainly not one of the most famous phrases uttered by a human while on the moon. And the item nestled in a small packet that astronaut Buzz Aldrin had stowed in the pocket just below the shoulder of his ESSER extracurricular mobility unit. Vehicular, excuse me.
I was going to say, an extracurricular, isn't that like something you should be wearing now?
Yeah, his extra vehicular mobile unit. There we go. Is EMU.
EMU. He was wearing an EMU.
They took an EMU to the moon. Were certainly not mission critical. They were sentimental objects intended to be left on the moon purely for symbolic and commemorative purposes.
You know, if you spread Grandpa's ashes on the moon, you'd never even see them. It's all gray up there.
This would be great. Oh, I can't see him. Anyway, you might be surprised to learn that a partial catalog of human-made objects on the moon fills more than 20 single spaced pages. There are more than 100 sites on the moon with evidence of human activity. The site contains materials from the European Space Agency, Japan, India, Russia, China, and the United States. Not only do these sites contain ongoing experiments, they hold invaluable data. For example, engineers are hoping to examine these materials to determine how they have fared after continuous exposure to the elevated radiation levels on the moon. Along with scientific equipment, robotic landers, and other objects left behind to lighten the load for the return home, there are a number of memorial and tributary items.
But perhaps the most important
of these varied objects and their position in lunar surface, one can reveal a true story of humanity's history on the moon, a chronicle which celebrates the persistence of passion and hundreds of thousands of scientists and engineers and aviators throughout human history have supported the effort to slip the surly bonds of Earth and reach the stars.
So the
there is one piece that I wanted to call out here.
Yeah, there's the message, a lot of pieces on. And I've heard this quoted before. The piece of metal that has a picture of the two hemispheres of the Earth and says, "Here, men from the planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 AD, we came in peace for all mankind." And it's got the signatures of the astronauts and the president of the United States, Richard Nixon.
Yes. There is also...
I never heard the story that he almost forgot.
I know, right? Well, I think this is what he was talking about here. The Apollo 15 astronauts, David R. Scott and James B. Irwin, left a commemorative plaque on the moon in memory of 14 NASA astronauts and USSR cosmonauts. The tiny man-like object represented the figure of the fallen astronaut and cosmonaut. And there's like a little aluminum man, but there's a plaque with their names on it. I don't know. I guess it's still there.
Yeah, it looks more like a piece of sturdy cardboard, but okay. It's not going anywhere. And I'm not sure.
Anyway, there's a book and that has some... images and stuff like that talks about some of the things that are left behind on the moon.
Left a handprint.
It's funny when they start talking about how much stuff they left behind. You don't think about the lander unit, you know,
right?
Which would
there's serve the base as the of the lander
takeoff lander. Point to get out, leave the moon, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The buggy, you know, the or the vehicles.
Does it still work?
Stuff like that. I don't know. Can't take a battery. You can get jump it off. It probably needs
to hook up a solar cell.
Yeah. Sit there and, you know,
get the pure energy. All right. Let's give a huge shout out to the people who helped make this podcast continue on through thick and thin, through software upgrades and configuration changes. You are our superheroes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And plaques on the moon.
And plaque on my teeth. I'm not sure where you're going with that, but okay.
No, we won't celebrate that.
Thank you to Alexis Duran and Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman. That concludes our A's. Into the B's, Ben Vaughn and Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer, Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, skipping up to the G's and H's, Gary Lindros and Harold McKinstry, the J's, we have three of them. John Clifford, John Noble, and Jorga Schrauen. I just thought that was fun to do for the J's.
Yeah.
Christina, Kyle Nishioka are the K's. L is Leon. M, I feel like Romper Room or something. M is for Mark Kilfoyle.
Sesame Street.
And Mike Wills. There we go. Today's show is sponsored by N for Night Gig Studios. Also, it's also sponsored by the six S's. Wow, that almost sounded like a dirty word or something. Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Wetchie, Steve Therian, Spiffy, Steve Cody, and Steve London. If you'd like to be part of the Technorama alphabet, you can do so by going over to patreon.com/Technorama podcast, and for as little as a dollar a show, you get your name enshrined on our alphabet plaque on the moon someday.
Yeah. Or if your name's Steve and you want to get in with the other Steves.
Get in with the Steve
Club. Come on in.
We're missing somebody named Steven spelled with the S-T-E-V-E-N or something like that. The dollar show, go over there, sign up, and you get a free complimentary Patreon show before anyone else. Really, before anyone else. We record that right after this, but it comes out before anyone else. So we'll get that to you. Which means it should have come out already today. Because, I'm really confused on this. Let's just fade out the music and stop before my brain...
It's that timey-wimey stuff. Don't try to...
Brain is going to explode.
Brain trying to figure it out.
Okay, we got a couple of stories in the Geek Library. So, the Dave Dorman theme, number one.
Number one.
A minor. I could do my public radio thing. Welcome to the Geek Library, where we have many articles, and you can view 250,000 British paintings and sculptures completely free.
Me to sleep.
Oh, the cat's singing. The show must be over. Is it my turn? Who did the this? You did the...
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
You like art.
I like art. I like art. I like Larry. I like all these people that are listening to our show.
Larry.
A little over 400 years ago, discriminatory and arbitrarily confusing travel bans descended on the U.S., tearing refugee families apart and leaving thousands in diplomatic limbo. This seemed nightmarish enough at the time, but it took a viral pandemic to bring travel bans and restrictions down on the entire world, more or less with countries appearing on bulletins that vaguely looked like lists of enemies on governing bodies' website, including the CDC's. Did I say 4 years ago? I thought I said 400 years ago.
Okay. You did. Said 400.
No, it's a little over 4 years ago. Sorry, is what it said. Whew. I was going, this sounds really familiar, but I don't remember websites 400 years ago.
Have you looked in at archive.org? The Wayback Machine? How far they go back.
Stonehenge is being built.
Yeah.
Likewise, almost 27 countries that comprise the European Union are currently disallowing U.S. travelers, with the exception of Croatia. You want to go to Croatia? God bless you. Mary Claire Patton reports, that's who wrote that out, the U.K. has also kept its ban on U.S. citizens in place. Darn it, I want to go there. All this is to say to fellow citizens and residents of any gender that the days of traipsing around the world for Instagram impressions or saving and scraping for that vacation honeymoon or making even more important journeys may be on hold indefinitely. Fortunately, art galleries worldwide have been preparing their collections for independent lives online with ultra-high resolution photography, materials that rarely appear on view in any form and more context than visitors typically get on a guided tour. Sweet. Well, would-be visitors keen on public art collections will find their niche online at Art UK, a charity project that is digitizing, quote, more than 150,000 publicly owned sculptures in Great Britain by the end of 2020, writes Mental Floss, including many sculptures living their lives out in public spaces, like this big green metal giant guard, the Green Knight. None shall pass. Art UK seemed to be lagging a bit behind on the sculpture post. And they are light on the context. But a few big things have happened since they made the announcement in February 2019. In any case, you will not have to travel to a Nando's eatery in Harlow to see Rodin's Eve, originally created for his Gates of Hell in Paris. Not that one wouldn't want to go to Harlow, which always displays works by acclaimed artists such as Henry Moore? I'm not sure where we are, so I can't say Henri or Henry.
Yeah, Henri.
Elizabeth, Frank, Barbara Hepworth, and Lynn Chadwick, Mark Brown points out at The Guardian. So go check this out. There are lots and lots of pictures, and some of the stuff we have on the link through the show notes are at 610. Chuckjet.com/Technorama, episode 610, are really fascinating. And you don't have to stand in line to see them either, or sit on a bus next to a smelly guy. Well, unless you choose to. If that's where you want to watch your artwork, go nuts.
Okay.
250,000 British paintings and sculptures. I want to see more museums doing this. That would be really cool.
As par for the course of this show, we're going to go from something very, you know, important like art like that to another form of art.
Oh, I don't have a picture
where a
German
hacker turned sausages into a working piano.
You snuck this in at the last section, at the last minute.
Do what?
You snuck this in at the last minute.
It's a short video, very short. So there's really not much to it. But hacker Patrick of Patrick's World, I guess is a website, patricksworld.de.
Can I play it?
You can play it if you
the
want.
The title of the video is Das Brockwurst Player.
Solo geht das natürlich nicht. Ne? Also wenn man jetzt auf die Würste passt, passiert gar nichts. Aber wenn man den Bockwurstwärmer anfasst und dabei die Wurst drückt.
Ne? He's tapping the sausages.
He's got probes in all these sausages and he's tapping them and they're responding. He demonstrated this new Bockwurst
Klavier.
Klavier. There you go.
It's close enough.
Wow, I just did it slow. It's a set of 10 Bockwurst sausages that were hooked up to a computer to sound just like the keys of a piano. So there you go. Very small. Very, very quick. You know, this is the art portion of our show, the classic.
Pure Technorama right there.
Yes, right.
How to hack your sausage. That didn't come out right at all.
That's right.
I'm sorry. You can't use sausage in any metaphors and make it sound right.
No.
All right. That means I get the story about the software, the cool software that can create 3D spaces from random internet photos. This is pretty cool.
Oh,
so yeah. Google researchers have reconstructed incredibly detailed 3D scenes of famous landmarks around the world using photographs taken from the internet and machine learning. And I suspect they contributed some of mine because the scene they chose for this article in the 3D rendering is a place we have been. It's called Trevi Fountain in Rome. Remember that? I also read a little article in here that says in 2016, the tradition is you throw a coin in over your left shoulder, right shoulder, whatever it was. I can't remember. The tourist guide always tells you. And you get good luck. And if you throw two or three coins in, you're going to find peace and happiness and marriage and all that stuff. Well, in 2016, they hauled out over $1.5 million US on this fountain.
Like, wow.
There's a moneymaker. I got to make me a fountain and sell some fish story with it.
Just put one out in your yard.
Yeah. If you stop by the Binary Studio fountain and you throw in a silver dollar made of real silver.
Yeah.
You'll get a free podcast.
Yeah, we'll mention your name on the show.
Wait a minute. You just gave away our Patreon thing.
That's right.
For every podcast we do, you get a dollar. This is sounding vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
Just not getting $1.5 million a year off of it. So we need a bigger fountain. Where was I? I don't even remember. On the project's GitHub page, researchers shared 3D scenes of a Brandenburg Gate in Berlin, Sacré-Cœur in Paris, and Trevi Fountain in Rome, all created from photographs taken from online sites such as Flickr. The results are an impressive 3D rendering in which the view from the camera can be moved and the appearance of the scene changed by different lighting effects. It's pretty cool because as it moves, it goes from night to day as they're just sort of
It looks like
around.
It's turning into a scene from Ghostbusters or something.
Kind of is. Well,
because it gets all daylight, all of a sudden the sky goes dark. It's like, what?
And I can attest, Trevi Fountain is equally beautiful in the day as it is at night. I actually think it's better at night. One picture they didn't use out of our collection is when we handed our camera to somebody to take a group photo. It's like, hey, take a picture of Donna and me and our two girls. Or was it Donna? Who took the picture that was more of the picture of the ground than... No, it was the picture of the top of the building. No, they fell down. The photographer fell down. Now, I won't claim if it was my wife or not, but the photographer fell down, and we got a picture of some of one person's head and the corner of the building.
Oh, boy.
We had a really good dinner that night, and the wine and the liquor was flowing like the fountain.
Oh, no.
It was quite the memory a couple of years ago. But kids, don't let your kids go to Rome. So a lot of cool effects in here. I've only seen the Trevi Fountain one, but I do want to go to, nerf-w.github.io. Apparently is where you can go to see some of this. Or you can go click through our show notes again over at chuckchat.com/technorama.
A while back, Microsoft was doing something like that, very similar to that. But they were taking public pictures and they were constructing a whole virtual 3D scene, you know, like you said, Rome or places like that where the architecture is very elaborate.
And they were taking all the pictures
and they would show you.
Well, imagine what you could do in, say, St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Actually, that's in Vatican City. I should be corrected on that. But there are a lot of landmarks The AI would have to be pretty precise because you've got to, almost like facial recognition, line up certain data points so you have the right perspective, the right aspect ratio. This would also be a great way to take people out of the picture too, because a lot of the pictures don't have people in them.
Well, yeah. Well, you can do that because sometimes you have one picture and there's somebody over here and the other one, they're not in that spot and you can, you can do that.
Digitally map them out.
I've done that. I've taken a picture and I saw somebody walking in my picture and I waited and then I did it, took another one and I just spliced them together.
I spliced together two pictures of my girls once.
Did you?
Yeah. They were holding up Christmas presents or something. And in the first picture, like one of them had their head down and in the other one had their eyes closed. So I said, well, I like Julie from this picture and Lisa from this picture. And I just found some lines like along the edge of the counter and up the chair and kind of graphed and went, boom. Okay. Now I have the ultimate picture and you can't really tell.
6 hours later.
Yeah, pretty much. You can't tell unless you look real close. And I am not a good photorealistic artist person. And I think I was using nothing better than MS Paint to do this. It was really a tough job. All right.
Yeah.
We're not going to announce our Patreon topic for this week's show. It's going to be a secret for the show. We do have some feedback from one of our Patreon people that we will call back to. But that brings us to the end of the show. A little shorter this week. We had, six stories in there? But the
sausage thing was only 30 seconds long, so.
Hey, it's not the length of the sausage.
Never mind. You are easily
amused tonight, aren't you?
When have I not been? When am I not? Hey, you got to laugh at something. Eventually you won't be around to get the joke, right?
I hope somebody is laughing out there.
Yeah.
We're having a good time. So thank you very much for joining us. We're going to sign out this time. If you want to join us, if you want to leave us a little feedback, we'd appreciate it over at the voicemail line, 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. Put it in your speed dial. And anytime you've got a comment and you have a random thought or you hear a bad dad joke, we'll take it. That's us. Or email it to us, if you can remember that long, technorama@chuckchat.com, because everybody's got email on their mobile device, or you're sitting at a laptop or a desktop, and you go, oh, that's a great story. We've had a number of people send us links in the past, and appreciate it very, very much. So, chuckchat.com is the site, Technorama is the podcast. We appreciate you spending some time with us, whether it's video or audio or whatever you got. Until next time, Craig, give us a binary high five.
All right. 101, everybody.
Thanks.